All right, man. So, what's up?
Not much. How about yourself, man?
Just enjoying this lovely rainy upstate New York weather we're having.
Oh man, we just got about a foot of snow over the weekend out here in Montana.
Man, I'm over the snow. I'm originally from Michigan, so I should be used to it, but this year it was a lot. I don't
Been
know.
insane. The amount of moisture that's come in after Christmas is just mind blowing.
So I trap coyotes, and my coyote season got shut down way early this year because in November, in 2 days, we got over 4 feet of snow. And
Oh yeah, I heard about that.
yeah.
That was crazy.
Yep. And it just stuck around. I mean, 4 feet of snow is not going to melt off, in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then in December, we got hit with another one that gave us about another 4 feet. So I was just like, okay, well, everything's just done.
Good grief.
Oh yeah.
So out there, like, what are you not able to hunt coyote year round?
No, I mean, we can, but I'd rather trap them.
Okay.
I mean, and it's also, you have a lot of limited visibility up here, just because it's so thick and wooded. I mean, you can hunt field edge and stuff like that, but you don't have like those massive open wide spaces like you do out west. So I mean, I know guys that do coyote hunt, but I've had better luck trapping them.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. And I've never trapped before. How is that?
Honestly, I'm pretty hooked on it. I mean, I've been trapping since I was in high school, but when I don't know, after the Marine Corps, I got back into it and it really helped me out with a lot of things. As far as like maintaining that attention to detail, having that just giving me something to like wake up in the morning and look forward to, just like checking my traps and stuff. It was kind of like Christmas every morning. And It's more, man, how do I explain it? Like trapping is it's honestly it's chess, not checkers. So I mean, it's you versus that
Nice.
animal, and you have to coax that animal into him putting his foot in that 2-inch pan, and it's really challenging, but it makes you think, and it's a lot of fun.
See, and that's the thing. Like, I do a lot of backcountry elk and deer hunting, and I mean, like, trapping me is like a whole different world. Like, that's a whole different like mindset, skill set. Like,
Yeah.
I tip my hat to you guys because that's just I don't have the patience right now to learn it. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, definitely. No, I started my own business. It's called the Veterans Trapping Alliance, and I haven't went like full out with it yet, but hopefully after I get out in the coming months, I'll be able to do exactly what I'd like to do, and that's take active duty and veterans out and not necessarily have them trap, but just show them how to trap and have them check traps with me. And if they want to get involved with it even more, then let's go for it. So yeah.
See, that to me is super awesome. Like you said, like you started trapping like in what, high school, right? So like me, like I grew up out in eastern Kansas, like bass fishing.
Okay.
Like bass, like and your panfish.
Yep.
I never hunted growing up and whatnot. Like I just didn't have time. My old man worked nights, busted his balls and everything working.
Right.
And so I just started at a young age. And so it was just spending that time with my old man fishing. And then, I mean, it wasn't until probably like 10 years ago where I was just like, I'm going to start hunting. I was just like, right around my birthday, I called my wife and I was just like, I'm going to get myself a birthday present and I'm going to buy a bow and I'm going to start elk hunting. And I had
Okay.
no clue what I was doing. Like, I had no clue that, like, I'm about to hunt one of the hardest animals, in my opinion, like backcountry with a bow when I've
Yeah.
never done it before.
What No, go on.
It was just a lot of failure. A lot of failure and a lot of learning.
I can relate to that with coyote trapping. Yeah. A lot of failure. But no, I was gonna ask, what turned you on to like bow hunting? You know, if you've, I don't know, if you never grew up with it, I guess.
Yeah, I was like you, like I did the Marine Corps and got done, and I joined the Army, and I was doing the reserves for a bit, and just wanted me time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like something I could just like dive into, have my own little special place, like my own little area. And I was watching the Outdoor Channel, and I think it was like one of Cameron Haynes' hunts. And I was like, that looks badass.
Yeah.
I was like, if they can do it, I can do it. And I found out, I knew it'd be hard. I just didn't know how hard it was going to be, like how much heartache and frustration there was going to be in hunting elk. And it took like 9 years to get my first ever elk with a bow. Damn. And I was out in Nebraska as a recruiter and started whitetail hunting out there, and I was super successful with my bow out there. And I was like, 9 years of just grinding, hitting the mountains in like Colorado and Wyoming, and then got stationed up here in Montana, and just a couple more years up here just grinding. And I got some cows with my rifle, but I was like, I'm not hunting bull elk unless it's with my bow.
Okay.
And so just, and I'm talking like, I had to learn everything.
Yeah.
I had to learn how to like shoot my bow, how to tune it, calling elk, figuring out their habitat, where they're going to be at. Like I'm 100%, like I tell people, like I'm self-made at this. I did the YouTube University watching videos and whatnot, but I just kind of pieced it all together over 9 years.
Yeah, no, I mean, it definitely sounds like it. I mean, that's pretty badass when, you know, when you have somebody who's just, I mean, to me, like I've never met you in person, but it just seems like your heart's definitely in it for all the right reasons.
I
definitely appreciate it.
I love it. It's a grind. I mean, I will give it that. It's a grind. Like this year, I just started like running. And running on your own compared to like running in formation or because you have to get up early with the guys and go run completely different.
Yeah.
I still absolutely hate running. Don't get me wrong. Like I'm not a fan of it.
I hate it too. Yeah.
You know, and for sure. We go out rucking, you know, and work up to, you know, about July, like, you know, 6 to 8 miles a day with 50 pounds on my back, just so I can be ready for the mountains. And I don't want my fitness level or endurance to be a limiting factor.
Right.
And I found the more and more I dive into getting more physically prepared, which goes a lot of the ways with the mental endurance part, it just seemed to help.
Yeah.
Be successful. And I mean, you've been in the game long enough too. Like you're out on those long rucks. Like you're having coming to Jesus talks with yourself, like questioning everything. It's like, do I really want to be doing this?
Oh yeah.
And then you're just like, screw it. What's one more mile?
Right.
I've done six. What's one more mile?
Man, I'll tell you, the first ruck that I fell out of, and this was like my realization that I was getting old and that I wasn't 19 or 20 or 21 anymore. And I'm 33 right now, so I'm not that old, but I'm an infantryman. Mm-hmm. And I have been. And if you're 33 in the infantry, you're the old man. Like,
yeah,
like you're the old man out. Yeah. And, we were doing this, it was like an 18 mile movement back from the range. And we're like halfway through, like mile 9, mile 10. And my knee just, I pretty much have no cartilage in my left knee. I know that, like, there's nothing in there. Mm-hmm. And it just started like locking up and seizing up. And I kept falling back and I was like, Jesus Christ. I was like, man, you know, and I was running the platoon and I was like, dude, I was like, I'm a platoon sergeant and I'm falling out in my own shit, you know? And my LT is like, he's like, dude, he's like, hey, man. He's like, just get in the truck. And I was like, I've never gotten in the truck my whole career. And I'm not going to now. And then I just got to the point where, man, my knee was just like not letting me go at all. And I was like, dude, I can't believe I'm doing this right now. Like, I can't believe this is happening. And so I got in the truck and then they're like, hey, dude, you're pretty messed up, man. You need to like go to the doctor. So I didn't go like through like the army. I just went right to the hospital and they checked my knee out and they also did a like a scan on my back or something too. And they're like, oh yeah. They're like, you have three bulging discs and you also have no like no cartilage in your right knee. I was like, that would explain the pain, you know, but you learn to live with the pain, you know, you just learn. It's like, okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. No, I get it. It's running and rucking are not my friends. Like not at all.
No, no. If I had to choose, I'd honestly rather just put heavy weight on my back and go.
Yep.
The running portion, I have to be so mentally engaged. Like I have to pay attention to my stride, my foot placement, my body position, how my arms are, my head, all that. Focus on my breathing. And I've never been one that can do the whole breathe through your nose thing. I've never been able to do that. No. And I see other people doing it. I'm like, I hate you.
Yeah. Well, I have a deviated septum, like, so I can't. Like, it's impossible.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It sucks. I broke my nose when I was like 9. And it's just been that way.
Holy cow. Yeah. But yeah, so But with the elk hunting, I'll go out on like 100 degree days for my ruck, and I just look at it as, all right, everything I'm doing is going to allow me to get that much further back and get into it, hopefully where they're going to be.
Yeah.
And then, you know, all the scouting that goes into it is just one thing after another where I'm just like, all right, I'm going to go hit this bowl, and I'm probably going to do like 5,000 feet of gain elevation. And I got, you know, 8 miles to go and there's going to be a storm rolling in. And it's like, cool. I got 3 hours to do this. Like, let's go drop our cameras and then hightail it out here.
Yeah.
And then I get home and I'm like, I'm exhausted. I question everything I'm doing. Then I wake up the next day and I'm just like, wonder if I got elk on my cameras yet.
Right. Yeah. No, a lot of people, I hunt public land up here in New York, and there's some pretty big tracts of land up here. I mean, it's nothing like it is out west, but you do have a lot of up and downs and a lot of just thick timber. And man, I realized this past year, me and this kid that was in my unit, we bow hunt together, and we both shot a deer on the same night. And man, that was a pain in the ass getting that deer, both of those deer out. It was like, oh my God. I mean, I was just like, like we were halfway and we were like sitting on the ground and I was just like, dude, we got to do it different. So now from now on, we just do like it is out west. When we kill a deer, we just quarter it and pack it out. Like that's
it's so nice doing that.
Yeah.
It's so nice. Yep. And that's the hardest part, like getting on elk. Super fun. Having them screaming right around you, super fun. Getting that shot off is exhilarating. And then you walk up on like this 1,000-pound animal.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what did I do?
I've never seen anything like
two
that.
So the bull I got this year, I saw him last year, and just this is super unique, non-typical bull where he's 7x1 and his rack on the right side looks like, you know, a giant bull horn.
That's sweet.
And it was just a solo hunt and I get on him and I'm just like, what did I do?
Yeah.
This is going to take me at least an hour to 2 hours, get him completely broke down, hung up. And then I'm about 5 miles back and I'm just like, I'm looking at 6 trips. This is going to hurt.
You by yourself?
Yeah, I was. And luckily, a couple buddies were out pronghorn hunting.
Gotcha.
And they shot me a message and like, hey, where you at? And I saw them a picture of the bull and they're like, shoot me your pen and we'll be there.
Nice.
And so they got out there as I was packing out the first quarter, and just dumb luck, we ran into another veteran.
Oh,
and he was like, you guys need help? And I was like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to turn down help.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and my golden rule has always been, if, you know, if you come and help pack out, like you're at least leaving with a quarter.
Yeah.
Cause it's physically taxing. But on the flip side of that, like all my buddies know, if you call me to come help pack out, like I'll be out there. I'll help pack out, you know, no questions asked, but you're giving me a quarter.
Yeah.
Like this is the pack tax.
Right. Yeah. No, absolutely. No, I always hook up people that help me out with my deer and stuff like that. I just, you know, it's just the right thing to do.
It is.
Regardless, you know, I mean, I've had one buddy who, he doesn't really hunt deer much, but every time I call him, man, he's there. And I'm just like, dude, after I get this all processed and everything, man, like, I'm going to drop off like two shopping bags, you know, of meat for you.
Yeah.
Usually he's like, dude, I don't need all this. I'm like, bro, yes, just take it, please. Yeah.
But then, like, this year was super awesome because, like, my buddy and I were in some really big bulls. And we had a couple other buddies show up, and one of them was my first sergeant and his brother. And it's their first, they're from Michigan. I think Michigan.
Yeah.
Either Michigan or, yeah, I'm pretty sure Michigan, or no, Minnesota.
Yeah.
And so they grew up, you know, deer hunting on the property.
Yep.
And it's their first year ever bow hunting and bow hunting elk. And they're like, hey, you know, we're just like, hey, come on out here. We'll drop you a pen. Come on out to where we are. Like we're on them. Mm-hmm. We'll get you on them. And, sure enough, like it was crazy. Like just the toll that was paid on the mountain this year to harvest elk was insane. Like I dropped I missed three times in a row at like 40 yards, and I'm questioning myself, like, what in the world's going on? My buddy missed twice, I think at 50 yards. We're both looking at one another, like, what in the hell's going on?
Yeah,
and then, And my first sergeant gets out there and he's just checking his bow, does a couple quick shots, and his cam explodes.
Oh,
just out of the blue, just exploded mid shot.
Wow.
And then his brother, we got back from an evening hunt and they dropped their gear, and somehow the safety came off of the bear mace and just maced him. Like homeboy standing there without his shirt on, just maced him from like his belly button all the way up to his collarbone. And like, I remember hearing this thing go off and I look over, I'm like, oh no.
That
and it's
sucks.
All slow motion, just like,
yeah.
Oh, man. And then like the very next day, like we're out back on some elk and we come across this nice spike and, arrange him for him and takes his shot at like 60 yards and just plugs him.
Nice.
And he's looking at me. He's like, did that just happen? I was like, yeah, that just happened. I was like, that's awesome. And he's like, bro, it feels so bad because you've been hunting bulls for so long and you haven't even gotten your elk yet this year. And I was like, don't worry about it. Like,
yeah.
Seeing him and light up and just a joy that came with it. And then it, you know, went with the whole tracking and then helping break down. And it was just standing there, like we'd hold legs for him and just telling him what to do. He's never done it before. And after that, he's like, I'm all in. I'm done rifle hunting. Like it's archery or nothing. And I was just like, it typically doesn't line up like this on your first ever hunt, buddy.
Yeah. No, usually it doesn't go down like that.
Yeah. And that thing, watching other people be successful to me is just as rewarding.
That's awesome.
And after him and watching that, I was like, I can do this all day.
Oh, absolutely.
And so, yeah, it's just the labor of it, teaching them how to listen to them call and helping them tweak that and helping my other buddy out with his bugling and whatnot. And that, so, that whole aspect is just as fun.
So I have a question. I have a couple of buddies from Montana, and I follow several other people from out that way in Montana. And I know, like, the past couple of years I've seen them or heard other, like, outdoor, I wouldn't call them like agencies, maybe they're agencies, I don't know, whatever programs, but talk about overcrowding in Montana as far as like elk hunting goes. Like, do you, have you experienced any of that?
Yeah, I have. I mean, just from like last year to this year, the spot that we normally go to probably tripled in hunters.
Really?
And normally like opening weekend is opening weekend, but it stayed like that for probably the first 3 weeks of September. Wow. And it was just having to go so far back, and then it's like, all right, we should be good. And then you start seeing more and more people. You're like, all right, let's keep going. Jeez. And so probably the last 3 years, we've been averaging anywhere between 15 and 20 miles a day.
All right. Yeah, that's a lot. So, Jesus, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, it, what I've been seeing is we've been getting a lot more western Montana coming out to the central and eastern side to hunt. Where I'm over here, like, man, you're leaving the Ennis area to come out here, or you're leaving the Glacier area to come out here, like,
yeah, I wonder why that is. Yeah,
it's because that the western side is so many more hunters are going out there, out of state hunters are going out there just because it's, you know, generally people think that there's bigger elk out there.
Yeah, they're just beating it up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I think it's everywhere. I think we're having this huge craze right now where hunting is becoming almost like a fad, I guess you can say. Because even like anything in the outdoors, it's kind of weird. I know social media probably drives a lot of it. But I could even say, just with ice fishing this year, where I usually go ice fishing and have some pretty good luck, it probably went from, the past couple of years has always been maybe like 50, 60 people out there, but it's a pretty decent sized bay and everyone has their own room. It's not bad at all. But this year there was maybe like 200, 300. And I'm just like, dude, where are all these people coming from? And I started talking to people, and I've been around for a little bit up here. No, I mean, not forever, but, guys are like, oh, like, you know, I've been coming here for 10 years. And I'm like, bro, I've been coming here the past 3 years, dude. I've never seen you. Like, you know, because for the first couple of years, like, everybody knew everybody, and you'd be like, oh, that's that one guy, that's that other guy, you know? And I'm like, I don't think you've been coming here for 10 years, homie. Like, I don't think so.
You know, thinking back to it, pre-COVID to after COVID,
I thought with the lockdown. Well. Yeah.
And I noticed that first year of COVID, when hunting was going on, there was an influx because there was just more people home.
Yep.
And there's more people that were finally like, you know what? I have more time to do this. I did this as a kid, or I did it in my early 20s, and I've just been working so much I haven't had the time.
Yeah.
And then they had the time, and then now they're rehooked.
You could be right. You could be absolutely right.
That's just what I want to think. I tend to like just kind of stay more on like, you know, the glass half full. Like that positive mentality.
Yeah. Sometimes I get negative. I'm not gonna lie. I mean, I'm just like, dude.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, why are there so many people out here right now? Like, and like sometimes I go in the outdoors to be alone, you know, to clear my head. But I know there are some people that go out in the outdoors to socialize, and I'm not really one of those guys. And I run into a lot of people that socialize, and they're cool people. They mean well, but they're just like talking your ear off, and you're like, man, like I can't out here to be alone right now. Like,
I know.
Okay. Yeah. It's interesting to me. I've had a lot of people tell me, they're like, dude, they're like, you don't like new hunters. And I'm like, I never said I don't like new hunters. I just like, if you're going to do it for the social media to get the likes, to get, you know, these stupid to be like a brand ambassador or some dumb shit. Like,
oh yeah,
I don't think you're doing it for the right reasons, man.
No,
like
no, we see a lot of the YouTube hunters out here. And that's just what we refer to it as, and they're referred to as other things wherever.
Yeah.
But I've noticed like the ones going trying to be a brand ambassador or whatever, trying to get a lot more followers and everything. They all kind of look the same.
What do you mean by that?
Well, they're all typically wearing about the same gear, like the same clothing brand.
That, okay.
That straight flat bill hat. Like out here, it's like Hush camo. Like it's the Hush camo hat with the sick of gear, the brand new Bose. And a lot of times with the brand new Bose, like if you're listening to this, like I apologize. That's more me just being jelly about it. Like I see the new Bose and I'm like, that's sexy.
Yeah.
But then I turn around and look at my bow that I have now, and I'm like, there's nothing wrong with it. It's shooting just as fast as these new ones, and it's 6 years old.
Right. I just got a new bow this last year, but my bow was this, man, it was this old, what was it? It's like, I think it's like 11, it was 11, it'd be 11 years old this year. And
nice.
It was this PSC, kind of like a, like one that you'd get off like the shelf at like a sportsman's warehouse or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I finally have the money now, and I'm an adult. I was like, I'm going to get a new bow, like a nice one. So
exactly.
I got the Matthews V3, and it's freaking sweet. I shot four deer with it this year, and I was like, I didn't even have to use my gun like at all. And I was like, well, we're done with that. Yeah. No, man, I think the whole YouTube craze is getting everybody that, I mean, I'm seeing it here in New York, even with like the public land up here. And it's just crazy. It's like, man, like, I don't know. I would just like to see people into it more for like the right reasons and actually building these, you know, like I call it like getting to know your neighbor, you know, like,
yeah,
instead of just, oh, I want to create content and, you know, I want to make money off this. And this is the life I want to live. And it's like, dude, not very many people actually do make money at this.
No,
and
no, like a lot don't.
No,
and I've just through like the social media piece, like I've had people like, hey, can you follow my YouTube page and let me know what you think of it? And I mean, I'll by all means, I'll check it out. I'll throw them a couple of likes and I'll give them an honest critique.
Mm-hmm.
And the hardest thing that I've seen just on my own personal one, just trying to do like that storytelling piece for everybody else. Like I'm not trying to get contacted by brands. It's not my goal. It's just whoever follows me, like here's my story. If you like it, cool. If not, you know, all right, cool. You don't have to like it.
Yeah.
But it's trying to letting them know, like, what's your niche going to be? Like you're in a niche market to begin with. And what's your niche going to be besides everything else that's out there? Like all the shots have already been done.
Yeah.
You know, all the different poses have been done. Tactics have all been done. Like what's your storytelling going to be that's different from everybody else that's going to, you know, light up YouTube or bring in other people to be like, I really like what they're doing.
Yeah.
And that's hard. And even in my own storytelling that I do, it's like, this is just me.
Absolutely.
And if it works for some people, cool. If not, cool. I mean, social media is huge. Like there's plenty of other platforms and whatnot that you can go check out.
Yeah. That's why people ask me when I told them that I want to start a podcast, and they're like, well, you know, what are you going to do differently than everyone else is doing? And I'm like, well, I'm going to tell you one thing I'm not going to do. I'm not going to do what everyone else is doing. So,
yeah.
I mean, there's already, you know, there's a lot of like podcasts. There's a lot of YouTube channels. There's a lot of Instagram pages that, you know, they're all giving out like how to's, how to shoot your bow, how to tune your bow, how to kill an elk, how to kill a deer. And it's like, there's no shortage of information for that out there. Like,
no.
But what there is a shortage of is like getting to know like the real people that are in the grind for the right reasons. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I never hear anybody on these big podcasts talk to just the regular guys that grind every season, whatever their season might be. And they bust their ass. They work really hard. And, you know, that's basically what I'm trying to do is just, like, shed the spotlight on some of those guys, because I don't care about what these big brands are doing or what this guy who has 100,000 subscribers on his YouTube channel is doing. Like, I can give a shit less. I don't care. And if you're, you know, like, if you like to feed into people like that, like, the only thing I see is, like, when you buy stuff from them and you subscribe to them and you watch their videos and all this other stuff, all you're doing is paying for them to go on all the hunts that you want to go on.
Exactly.
Like, so just invest in yourself and you'd be surprised at what you can get out of it.
Oh yeah.
That's what I try to tell everybody. And it's just like, man, the other day I caught my first otter, and that's
nice.
Like in the outdoor world, especially here, that's kind of like a moment when you know that, you know, you kind of made it, I guess, but I don't know how to describe it, but it's huge for trappers to catch their first otter. And where I grew up in Michigan, man, we didn't have any otters or anything like that. And it was just, you know, for me, I was like, holy shit. Like, you know, I was like, I caught an otter. This thing's huge. And, you know, yeah, it's, I don't know. It's pretty wild. And those are like the things that I like to, I don't know, that a lot of them I just save for me. You know, I had a good conversation with one of my buddies I went to college with, and he was like, yeah, man, he was like, you know, you don't have to post everything on social media. And I was like, you're right. I posted the otter because I was super proud of it, but that just, you know, there's been like other things though that I've done, and I'm just like, I'm not sharing this with anybody. Like, this is just for me. Like, I think there's a lot of people out there like that, and I admire those type of people that they don't have to be like, oh man, I just shot this elk and now I want to take all these pictures with it and then post it before I even pack it out. It's like, dude, what?
Oh, that was 100% me. I got this bull and I was like, I'm getting all the pictures. Yeah. But that is like a 9-year endeavor for me. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I damn near bawled my eyes out. I was so happy.
Oh, no. I'm not saying, I'm just saying, like, they want to post it on social media.
Oh, yeah, before. Yeah, all the constant ones.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, it, like, there's a lot in the social media realm that I don't post. Like, anything really that I do with my wife and my daughter. Like, my daughter, she likes archery. She likes going out to the gun range. We go out hunting and everything. And to me, that's my private time.
Yeah.
And that's like, I have videos, I have photos, but that's the stuff I won't post.
Right.
Cause to me that's just getting a little too personal on the social media side.
Yeah.
And some people do it and more power to them.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you've really seen it. A whole lot of it is you start posting photos of like your family up there and all of a sudden these like scam accounts are popping up with all your photos.
It's weird. Yeah. I've had buddies that's happened to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super weird.
And so like on my work account, like I don't have anything in my family on there anymore. And it's hard because like doing the job of recruiting and whatnot, you have to be as personable as you can and come across as like a real human.
Yeah.
But I don't post anything in my family on there because there's just so many people that will steal them and then create these spam accounts to, you know, try and con, you know, people out of money.
Yeah, it's so weird. Yeah.
It is. Absolutely. Blows my mind.
Yeah, so talking about the military a little bit, so you were in the Marines first, right?
Yeah.
All right, so how long did you serve in the Marines?
So mine's a little different. I did initially 4 years, okay, and then got out. And then that was what, 07, 08 when that big recall was going on?
Yeah.
And I got caught up in that. And so I got to go do another tour in Iraq after being out for like a year and a half. I was super thrilled. And then I got out again. And then like I was living in Wyoming. I had a lot of fun. I was working at a ski area called Snowy Range. Super fun. Nice. And we had our, my wife and I had our one and only kid, and we were sitting there talking. I was like, I'm going to go join the Army Reserve. Like, we need benefits.
Yeah.
And she was like, okay.
All right.
And then a week later I was in the Army Reserve, and I kicked myself that my only regret is I didn't jump on an opportunity when it presented itself. When I was coming into the Army as prior service, at the time, the business rules, you could do this new anti-computer hacking that just started up.
Yeah.
And this is like 2010. Or you could do special forces.
Okay.
And at the time, I worked on a ski area, hiking up and down in the summertime, skiing all winter, and I was in phenomenal shape.
Oh, yeah. You would have been golden for
Samson. And it's like David, like knowing who David Goggins is now and hearing the stuff that he says, it's 100% true. Like, my inner bitch came out. And they're like, you can do this. And I was sitting there thinking about it, and I was like, I'm nowhere near ready for that. And then after being in the Army and everything, and looking back, it's like, I've been fine physically.
Yeah.
So I took the reserve route, and I did that for 3 years. I put in an AGR packet. They said I could do recruiting, came into recruiting, and at the schoolhouse, got converted to a full-time recruiter. And I was just like, okay, I guess I'm going to love this. I don't have a choice.
Right. Yeah.
And so I've been
in there. Yeah.
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 So I've been doing that since 2013, and recruiting to me, cause I had to learn to love it. But to me, like, recruiting super fun. It's super fun, and at the same time, it's super hard. And it really comes down to like the person in the area. Cause I was an introvert at first, mm-hmm. and then I had to force myself to become an extrovert to do the job.
Yeah.
And so, and I found out real quick, like, you just got to be a real G.
Yeah.
These kids will sniff it out in a heartbeat. If you're faking it whatsoever, they sniff it out. And I remember my recruiter from the Marine Corps and whatnot. And I told myself I'm not going to be like him.
Well, why is that?
And so, well, because like I joined right after 9/11 happened. So it's like, I just walked in with all my stuff and I was like, hey, I want to join.
Here and I so, am.
Yeah. So, I found a lot of stuff out. Like, you know, there's a lot of myths, that you're told that are myths. And I don't want to elaborate too much on it, because I never want to come across like I'm bashing another branch by any means.
Right.
But with my recruiter, like I vividly remember, like, I got back from MEPS. The office was in a mall. I got back probably like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night. And the mall's locked up and my recruiter isn't there. And for a lot of people, like, you know, cell phones had just come out, but they're way too expensive. You know, it's like $1 a minute or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I had to walk home in the dark. Jesus. And it just stuck with me. Like, this dude couldn't even be here to give me a ride.
Well, I mean, I guess if anything, that tells you, like, welcome to the Marine Corps. Like, go.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. And then once you're in it, you're like, oh, man, that was the nicest thing anybody did.
That was a sign right there to just not even join. Like, no. Oh, man.
So,
dude.
And I remember some of the stuff he was saying, and I'm like, I tell everybody, like, do your homework. Go to all of our web pages, and all the information's right there. You know, now they all have these live chat functions, so you can ask any question you want, and it's a non-recruiter that's going to answer that. So you're just going to get the straight-up God's honest truth. with no spin. So I tell everyone to do that.
Yeah.
And I let them know straight up, like, hey, look, you know, my whole job is just to talk to you, present your information, and ask you if you want to join the Army. That's it. That's all I get paid to do. If you agree to join, cool. You're going to lock me down to my computer for about a day. I'm not going to be happy because now I'm locked down to my computer. And then after that day, we're cool.
Right.
And if you say no, awesome. Cool. Like, it doesn't affect me as a person. And like, I turned 40 in like 2 weeks. So even the pressure of it, like, you don't hit your quota, and every recruiter you talk to is on a quota.
Yeah.
But like, I'm almost 40. So what happens if I don't hit my quota? Like, I get an ass chewing after a couple months. Like, okay, whatever.
Those are free.
So I don't let, yeah. So I don't let that phase me.
No.
And, I just tell these kids, these young adults, their parents, the legit truth. They're like, hey, are you on a quota? Yeah, I am. What's your quota for this month? This month I'm on for one. Next month I'm on for two. Here's where I currently stand. And they're like, oh, yeah. Like, what else do you want to know?
Yeah. No. I mean, I'll say with my experience dealing with recruiters, my Marine recruiter, he was like, dude, because I went in there, and I went in there. I graduated high school in 2008, and I went in there, and I was like, because where I came from, it was either you go to college or you go to jail, or, and, you know, and like, I mean, there's not very, very many opportunities where I grew up. So I go in there, and I'm like, I want to be in the Marine Infantry, and he was like, okay, and I, you know, did all the tests and stuff like that. I had to go do the ASVAB and everything, did the ASVAB, and he's like, why do you want to be in the infantry? And I was like, cause I want to go fight. And he's like, well, he's like, your GT score is pretty high, dude. And I was like, I don't even know what that is. And he's like, do something else. And I was like, no, I want to be infantry. He was like, come on, man, do something else. And he was trying to talk me into like all these other jobs. He's like, I have this linguist job open right now. I had now that I know what it is, I'm like, dude, why didn't you do that?
Yeah.
Like, stupid, man. And all because I was just this cocky kid, and I grew up playing sports. I grew up playing football and wrestling, so, you know, I just wanted to like get it on, you know. And then, oh man,
exactly.
Looking back, I'm like, dude, so dumb. And the crazy thing is like, when I joined the Army, I came out of, I didn't finish college, and I came right from college to the Army, and the Army recruiter was like, bro, he was like, dude, he was like, you want to go back infantry? And I was like, yeah, that's all I know. Cause all because I didn't want to go to like an AIT, and mm-hmm. I just wanted to go straight to my unit and get it over with. And, man, I should have just, not looking back again, you know, I should have just been like, yeah, I'll take a totally different job, but I didn't. And I don't regret it, but at the same time, like, it's like, man, you could at least have something where you have a skill when you get out. Like, in the infantry, you don't learn nothing. Like, really, you don't. I mean, I don't know.
Unless you move up to like a special beret, like, yeah. you get this, you know, you get your tan or green beret, and you're able to go do the cool guy stuff after you're out.
Yeah. No, that was that was like another thing when you talked about how, you know, you had like this like bitch moment. My recruiter was like, why don't you go 18 x-ray or whatever it is? And I was like,
yeah,
what's that? And he's like, oh, it's like, you know, this in selection. I'm like, I'm not ready for that. When that was like the best time for me to go.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. So many mistakes.
Yeah. I know. And I tell them and legit, I mean, everybody who does, for the Army, they do legit pick their job before they join. And I'll sit there and I have these conversations with these kids, and I'm like, all right, let's go with something that aligns with your interests. Yeah. And then every now and then you'll have one just out of the blue set on IT. And then we go to look at jobs, and they're like, what's 11X? don't worry about it. You haven't been talking about 11X. We've been talking IT. Look at all these IT jobs. Like, this is what you want to do after you're done anyways. Like, let's do this. It's like, no, tell me about 11X. It's infantry. Does it come with anything? Yeah, it comes with option 40. What's that? Airborne Ranger. I could be a Ranger.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Let's rethink this, man. Like, this is everything you've been talking about. Like, you're 120 pounds, bro. Like, let's look at this over here.
Yeah.
And all I can do is steer them in the correct direction. And if they're like, no, this 100%, this is what I'm doing. It's like, let me have you talk to my buddy that sits on the other side of the office from me, and he can at least tell you about Ranger School.
Yeah.
And then if they're like, no, I'm doing it. It's like, okay. Well, remember, your recruiter tried telling you to do IT, bro, because that's what you've been talking about for 3 months is IT.
Should have stuck with the IT. Yeah, for sure. No, I remember I was going on my second deployment, and I was in Kyrgyzstan, and I go out to the smoke pit as a young Lance Corporal, and my recruiter is out there, and I'm like, what? And he looks at me and he was like, hey, you little son of a bitch. And I was just like, what's going on, Gunny? He's like, I put you in, right? And I was like, yeah, you put me in like 3 years ago. And he's like, how you liking it? He's like, you're infantry, right? And I was like, yes, Gunny. He's like, I told you not to do it. And I was like, yeah, you did. Like, no shit, man. He told me not to do it.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that dude, he was like really honest with me about it. And
that's good.
But other than that, like, yeah, I mean, I was just hard-headed. He was like, it's going to suck. You're not going to like it. You're going to ruck a lot. You're going to have a lot of heavy shit on your back. He's like, you're going to sleep out in the field. He's like, you're probably going to be out in the field for the majority of your enlistment. And he's like, I know you don't know what I'm talking about right now. He's like, but one day you'll remember this. And and I was like, yup, I remember it all. Like, oh, yeah, definitely do. It's a lifestyle that either you really get ingrained into or you don't. And you know, it's kind of crazy. Man, just, you know, I came in early 2009, went to Afghanistan, did all that fun stuff, and then, you know, got out, came back in the Army, and I don't know. Everyone always asks me, they're like, you know, what do you like better? I say, well, I mean, there's goods and bads to both, but I mean, I'm not upset with my decision. I think, like, what if I could give any advice to anybody that is going to get out or transition out of the military, like, absolutely make sure you have a plan. I know a lot of people say it and they're like, have a plan. I'm like, but no, really though, like, that's what screwed me my first time getting out was I didn't have any of my VA stuff set up. I didn't, like, back then you couldn't go to BAS or anything. Like, if you got hurt, like, that wasn't an option. Like, I tell everybody, like, dude, get all your shit documented. Like, everything you can. So when you get out, you could just go to the VA or like med board. Like, I'm med boarding because my back is just blown out. And, and I at least have like a pretty solid plan, and I saved money, and, you know, I've been trying to do the right things to make sure that I'm going to be successful when I get out. Because I remember getting out the first time, and we just got back from Afghanistan, and it was a pretty tough deployment. And like 3 months later, like, I'd say half of my generation was out of the Marines, and we were like, what do we do now? Like, like, where do we go? And we're all 22, 23 years old. And it's just like, we were more of a danger to society. Like, you know, we had no direction, and I try to steer all my soldiers in that direction. I'm like, dude, if you don't know what you want to do, it sucks, but re-enlist. Like, figure it out.
What's another couple years?
Right. Oh, absolutely. Like,
what's another couple years? I mean, honestly, and that's why I try and tell some of these people, like, what's another couple years? Or do an extension.
Yeah.
Like, what's one more year? Like, you're not set up to leave right now. Like, take my advice on this. You're not set up. Your plan's probably going to go to shit. Unless you have stuff like concrete in writing right now, guaranteed contract. Like, it's completely different when you don't have that safety net. And that's the thing, like I'm about 4.5, 5 years out. And everyone almost keeps, there. You know, they're already asking and they're like, what are you going to do after you retire? Like, I don't know, but I got to figure out what I'm going to do when I grow up. Cause once I'm done with this, like I'm done. Like there's no getting out and coming back in after I retire. Like I cash that check.
Yeah.
And so I'm making those plans now just cause I've seen buddies get out. I've seen people retire last minute. And all of a sudden it's like, you see that fear come across people's faces.
Yep.
When they have this grand idea, everything's going good, and they have people trying to tell them, like, it's not going to be like that. It's not going to be like that. And then it's usually like 3 months out from when they're supposed to get out or retire, where for a lot of people, the realization kicks in like, oh, shit. My plan is dumb.
Yeah.
What am I going to do? And it's like... Let's start looking.
Oh, yeah.
You got my name and number. Like, you can put me down as a reference. For real. But what are we going to do?
No, I'm very transparent about me and my mental health and everything. And I tell, like, my dudes, like, mental health is so important. And I did this 3-month, like, outpatient program through Fort Drum up here. It was actually a really good program. And it's for... combat, you've had to be like in a combat zone, not necessarily combat MOS, mm-hmm. but just serve in a combat zone. And
yeah,
it was really eye opening to me to see all the higher enlisted that were in the program with me that were like mm-hmm. E8s, E9s, some officers, and they were retiring or something was happening. They absolutely didn't have a plan. And I'm like, you know, at first I was like, Jesus Christ. But then I was thinking, I was like, dude, you have to know that this job comes with an expiration date, man. Like,
yeah.
To be able to do 30 years in the military, I don't care what branch you're in, like, it's nearly impossible.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the top 0.001% get to do actually 30 years. Like, you know, and these guys are like, I have 6 kids. What am I going to do? And I'm like, bro, you probably shouldn't have had 6 kids, man. That's crazy. Like, <I know. laughs> holy shit, man. And
more power to him. More power.
I don't have any kids. And, I know I look at all my buddies that have kids. I'm like, well, enjoy. Like, nothing against it. But yeah, I guess it was just never in the cards for me, but whatever. But,
I will commend a bunch of these troops throughout the branches that are really bringing mental health to the forefront. Because, I mean, think about it. Like, you said you came in 08, right?
Yeah, I joined the Marines in 08, yeah.
And I came in originally back in 02. And that's a killer. I have some buddies that retired last February when if I never would have got out, I would have retired. That was a rough month for me. I was kind of depressed. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. But like, you think about it, though, like back then, even like 5 years ago, 7 years ago, you weren't talking about any sort of mental health.
No.
Because this stigmata was, you're done.
Yep.
And then now it's being brought forth by so many people. Where I'm like, you know what? Good for y'all. Like, it took a lot of courageous people out there to step up and be like, no, I have this mental stuff going on. For it to start being recognized as not so much as a negative.
Yeah.
But what are we going to do? And how can we propel forward from here?
Oh yeah.
And it's huge now. And I look at it from like when we came in originally to now, like just look at like the just the like total body concept, the total soldier concept, the athletic side of it, the sports nutrition piece. Like I tell these kids, like go get yourself a pair of real running shoes. No one told me that.
No,
no one ever told me that. Get some real running shoes and, hey, here's how you are supposed to run. Instead of just, how hard can I pound this pavement in these cross trainers that I've worn for 3 years?
Horrible for your feet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Terrible for your feet.
But I just look at it now, like, just over the last 20 years, like, just the amount of leaps forward in the progression that the military as a whole has done. And I applaud it. And I'll tell people, like, man, you have all this afforded to you. Like, what are you doing? Like, I didn't have this when I, you know,
no.
3 years in.
I
wish I did.
Even, like, back in, like, 2009, 2010, like, we didn't have any of this shit. And I have these soldiers, and they're like, Sergeant, you didn't have it? I'm like, fuck no, dude. What are you talking about? Like, no, that was, like, over 10 years ago, man. Like, I didn't know that, you know, I mean, and they're like, oh, wow. And I was like, yeah, you're lucky. You have no idea. Like,
yeah, none. Like, yeah, you were like, how can I suck up this injury longer without going to medical? Because I don't want to get shunned by my unit.
Oh, you get ostracized, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you're a pussy and everything else. And I mean.
And you're just completely broken. And now it's like, oh, hey, man, like, you tweaked your knee. Go get that checked out.
Oh, absolutely.
Don't let it progress to what I have. Go get that checked out.
No, so what did it for me was after, you know, falling out of that ruck that I talked about, you know, that was that really kind of was like a kick in the nuts for me. And I was pretty low. I was like, dude, I've never fallen out of anything in my life because it's never been an option. Like, it was never an option to fall out. Like,
yeah,
no. So after that, I had a real, like, come to Jesus moment with myself. And I was like, well, if I'm, you know, if I need to recover, then I'm going to work on my mental health as well. So, like, I remember before I went in, like, the behavioral health clinic or whatever you want to call it, and I'm sitting in my truck and I'm just should I really do this? Like, you know, and I'm having, like, this talk with myself, and I was like, just drive away, you know, whatever, like, don't. But I went in, I walked in there, and the lady at the counter, she was like, can I help you? And I was like, yeah, I'm here to, like, talk to somebody or whatever. And she was like, oh, are you, like, representing a soldier or something? I'm like, no, I'm here for me. And she's like, oh, all right. Because I don't think that, like, they typically see a lot of, like, staff NCOs walk into a behavioral health clinic and ask for help. And you know, it was just, and I guess from there, that's when I was like, well, you know, if you need it, you need it. And one thing that I have seen in the past couple of years is that there is problems with it. Like, we do have soldiers that abuse it. You have everyone that, you know, like, people are always going to abuse it. But I've heard here at 10th Mountain lately that they've gotten a lot better at weeding out the people that are full shit. And and even with, like, going to, like, medical and stuff like that and, like, behavioral health. And so the people that actually need the help, the people that need the physical therapy, the people that need to talk to somebody can actually get the help instead of it all being clogged with just people that don't want to go out and train. You know, I mean,
yeah,
I see that a lot. And everyone always is like, oh, man, it's just bullshit because that's just where privates go to get out of training and stuff like that. But now it's actually, it took a couple years, but now it's like getting cleaned up. And I was like, well, it's a good thing, you know. And I was talking with one of my buddies who's a platoon sergeant, and he was like, yeah, man. He was like, now so these little shitheads can't get out of all this because, I mean, you'll show up to, you know, Friday, everyone's good to go, everyone's healthy, everyone could run. Yep. And then Monday morning, hey, we're going out to the field, and you have people, oh, my back hurts. You're like, no, it doesn't, dude. You're full of shit, man. You know, we're getting ready to go out.
You just don't want to go to field on a Monday.
Oh, yeah. I mean, do you think I want to go? No.
Yeah.
I don't want to go, but here I am. No, it's weird. The one thing about the military now that I don't like is that we're not really at war. There's, like, none of that going on. There's no huge conflict like that everyone before
that's
knew.
Low.
Yeah. And the thing that I get upset the most about is that there are kids that come here that really are, like, I mean, they're legit kids and they want to train and they want to be the best. But then we're in, like, this peacetime kind of deal, and it's really weird because the op tempo is dropping and there's becoming a lot of standing around, you know, a lot of not doing shit. And these kids are all pissed. And I'm like, bro, there's only one way to go, man. And that's like, go SF or go something like that, dude. You got to work your ass off because everybody else is trying to. So,
yeah.
I mean, other than that, like, yeah, I'd say, you know, those are the kids that I feel really bad for. And I'm like, I can tell your heart's in it, man. But, you know, I also tell them, like, be careful what you wish for. Because when I was young, I wanted nothing more than to go punch Taliban in the face. And then that day came. And shortly after that, I was like, I don't want to be here anymore. Like, I was like, I want to go home now. Like, all right, I've had enough. It's time to go home. And I tell them that, and they're like, well, you're still here. And I'm like, I know, I'm stupid. Like, don't listen to me. Like,
do the opposite of me.
Yeah, like, seriously. You're going to be all right, I promise.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, that's how I view the mountains, mental health-wise. And, like, my wife will tell me, like, get out of the house and go to the mountains for a weekend. I'll see you Sunday night.
That's awesome.
Okay. And it's just a thing, like this year I'm taking 21 days straight to go elk hunting in Wyoming and Montana, and it's going to be a total suck fest, but it's going to be the greatest time ever.
That's legit.
Just because, it's just because, like, I'm going to be up in the mountains for 21 days grinding, and I come back. And a lot of it has to do, you know, all that fresh air, and then all that, you know, out exposed to the sunlight. And I'm a firm believer that, you know, the more sunlight you can get, the better mood you're going to be in.
Yeah, it's like a reset.
And the more fresh air you can get, you know, the better you feel.
Yeah.
But for me, I always looked at it as like, I always feel better. I always feel better. Mm-hmm. And recruiting, I cover the Crow Nation tribe and the Northern Cheyenne tribe, and working with a lot of people from the Crow, they're like, yeah, no, the mountains are medicine. Mountains are medicine. And I was like, you know what? Y'all are on to something.
I've never heard that, and but so, I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, just think about it, like, you as a person, like, how much better do you feel when you come back from, like, trapping or hunting?
My girlfriend tells me, like, she's like, you're happier when you go out and you do stuff that you enjoy doing. Like, you come back and you're in way better mood.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
And I'm just lucky that I have the command in place that I do, that they reward hard work.
That's awesome.
And so I will go and bust my ass, but don't take my hunting time. Leave my hunting time alone. Like, what do you need, boss? Wiping sweat, boss. I got you, boss.
Yeah.
You know, right. Like, I'll be the biggest team player. Like, you know, you need me to find three more people. Like, okay. Like, I'll help the team out, you know?
Yeah.
But in return, all my hard work, like, I get to go hunting almost as much as I want.
Yeah, and that's sweet, too.
Recruiting, I feel bad for some people in recruiting. Everybody's heard the horror stories in recruiting. I've been in the horror stories of recruiting. And some places are just really good, and you have really good time, and you're able to connect, and everything just seems to line up, and then you can go to a new area and you're just like, what happened?
Yeah.
Like, I haven't changed anything I'm doing, and I'm being completely unproductive now. Like, what just happened here? And so, and there's a lot of recruiting that I really like, and there's parts of recruiting that I don't like. And, you know, hard work pays off in recruiting.
Yeah, no, I think like,
but that's like anywhere in the military. Hard work generally pays off.
Well, that's what.
And
like, so right now, my first sergeant told me like a month or two ago, like a month and a half ago, he said, hey, man, he's like, look, dude, he came up. Well, he's like, hey, can I talk to you in my office? And I was like, fuck. I was like, I didn't do anything. You know, like, I thought I was in trouble. And he's like, what's going on? And I was just like, nothing. I'm like, what's going on with you, first time? He's like, hey, man, I just want to let you know that I don't need you anymore for anything around here. And I was like, okay, what's that mean? He's like, just don't come in anymore. And I was like, are you serious? And he's like, yes, don't come in. He's like, I might need you to take like a piss test every now and then. But other than that, like, enjoy your time, figure out what you want to do for the rest of your life, and just consider this like, you know, like a huge like vacation until you get out. And I was like, oh, damn. I was like, all right, dude. Like, yeah, because I mean, me and him used to be like, I don't know, we were kind of like boys, I guess, but he just knows like this dude's done his time. Like he's done the grind, and just let him be free. And I just like, man, I really appreciate that. Like I respect leadership like that, that, you know, if somebody's put out and they worked hard and they tried really hard at their job and they were super knowledgeable and they brought something to the unit, you know, to get hooked up like that is better than any like PCS award mm-hmm. you can give me, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's like, I tell my command, I was like, look, if I PCS from here, like I'm hoping to retire here in Montana or Northern Wyoming. I just really love the area.
I bet.
And, you know, and recruiting keeps me here. They keep me here. If they move me, they move me. It's just part of the game. But I told my command, I was like, look, if I PCS, like, I don't need anything.
Yeah.
Like, don't do an award for me. Like, I don't need it. I'm not wanting one. Like, just a firm handshake.
Yeah.
And if you can just give me a firm handshake and be like, I appreciate everything you did and you actually mean it. Like that's way better.
Oh, absolutely.
In my opinion. And that thing, like, they will do awards and all that stuff, and it's great, but I'm just like, hey, can I get time off? And yeah. They're like, yeah. So if you're at, you know, certain benchmarks, then yeah, cool. You get 3-day weekends or you get 4-day weekends. And I'm like, I will grind 3 or 4 days straight to keep those 3 to 4 day weekends.
Oh, they're gold, man. Those are golden for sure.
Especially now, like, you know, like I said, you know, getting ready to turn 40, my kid's in middle school. She does swim and track, and I've missed enough to where I'm like, I want to be there. And so I'm just like, hey, look, if I'm home late or I'm up really early in the morning on the road or whatever, or like doing my other stuff, like, just know it's so I can be there. And that's what I try and get across to, like, these younger NCOs that come out to recruiting. I'm just like, just bust your ass. Don't worry about anything else. Just bust your ass. Ask as many questions as you can and just bust your ass. And eventually it'll start to work.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I tell a lot of people. I'm like, dude, your first, like, 4 years is going to, like, push you into, like, your whole career. Like, if you bust your ass for those 4 years, like, and it's crazy to think about, like, that's all you really need to do. Like, and I know it sounds like a shitbag thing to say, but like, if you really put out your first 4 years and you show up and you work hard and you put out every day and you're always dependable and reliable, like, you're going to skyrocket through the ranks, and then you're going to PCS to your next unit, and you're going to be a sergeant or, you know, a sergeant with promotable, you know, and, and then it's going to be like, damn, dude, like, people are going to be like, yeah, he's an NCO, you know? And I tell people, like, it could happen just that fast.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It can. And it younger, you don't think about it, but now older and you've done it for a while, you're like, you know, he was super stoked to show me a picture of his kid. Firstborn. I want you to meet my kid, or you get invited to a wedding, or they call you up to, you know, do, you know, pin him on for the promotion and whatnot.
Yep.
Younger rank, you don't really grasp the volume of what you're being shown or what you're being asked until you've been in it for a while. And then you're just like, you know, that's a different level of respect.
Oh yeah. I definitely agree. There's a lot that I think about too, from when I was younger to now. And I'm like, Yeah, it's but you have to like go through these steps to actually realize that though. I don't know how to describe it. It's weird. But yeah, man, we're kind of running over on time here. I usually like to keep this to an hour, but we've definitely had some good conversation for sure. And we'll have to do this again. I really want to catch up with you after. When's your elk season?
So I'm taking off. Let me pull up my calendar real quick. So I've got September 10th through the 30th.
Sweet. All right. So
it will be my archery.
Yeah. No, I definitely want to catch up with you after your elk season and just talk with you how your elk season went, because it sounds super interesting. And I hope you have some serious good luck this year. I don't know if you're chasing any particular bulls or anything, but if you are, no. I hope you get a hammer.
Oh yeah, same here. And that thing, we'll definitely stay in contact after this. There's some other information I'll shoot you and whatnot. But I mean, by all means, man, you want to come out and like go chase up in the mountains, let me know.
All right, dude, for sure. Absolutely, man.
I can't guarantee that you get an elk, but I can pretty much guarantee we'll be in them.
No, hey, I've never even been in them. So that's a win for me, man.
Yeah.
No, it was good. It was good talking to you, Caleb. I really appreciate you coming on. Thank you.
Okay.
And we'll definitely keep in touch. All right, man.
Awesome. Sounds great. Thank you very much, Justin.
Yep. All right. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.